Greetings and salutations, new and old party members alike. Thank you for joining us in episode 42 of the Venture Maiden's Favor campaign. Now, with the ever-changing algorithms and decay of social media, we recommend you join our Discord if you want to stay up to date with the latest Venture Maiden's news, and if you would like to join one of the finest community of internet folks there is. We've got pet pictures, we've got recipes, we've got a book club, we've got everything that you need, and we seriously love the community we've helped develop over the past 7 years, and our amazing fans are the reason we do everything we do. For those of you who are able to take that extra step each month and donate to us whatever you are able to spare, we thank you. Our Patreon donors are the actual reason we are able to grow and expand this dream from its once humble origins. For more amazing content at just the $1 per month level, head to patreon.com/venturemaidens. In addition to our amazing fans and patrons, I of course would like to thank Emily Mayo for our theme song and Tabletop Audio for providing additional ambient music. Also, a great big thank you to our wonderful sponsor and community partner, the Bermuda Rum Cake Company. If you haven't tried one of these rum cakes, I cannot recommend them enough. They are a perfect accompaniment to an afternoon cup of tea, a cozy book, and a blanket. Head to BermudaRumCakes.com/VentureMaidens to browse their huge variety of flavors to fit anyone's palate and pick up some tasty cakes. When you do so, you will find a fun random dice surprise in every cake box, and you'll be helping us here at Venture Maidens and a very cool small business run by fellow nerds. With all that said, let's dive into the recap of what happened in the previous episode. Last time on Venture Maidens, Tony, Gidget, and the crew continued to fight through the Hanging Gardens of Tethys, facing devious droids and an even more devious puzzles, to reach the majestic floating islands at the fortress's center. After discovering an incredible tome that reveals the secret to creating new alicorns, the group entered the central greenhouse to find Tony's rose. Meanwhile, Aoife continued to test her new sleeping court powers as she looked for Lou inside of Jada's dream. Our drow got some answers from her now undead ex-fiancé before Aoife was able to arrive and save the day. After escaping one close call, the pair stepped into another perilous situation, emerging from the dream world and into the greenhouse where Tony and her crew were under attack by a massive plant monster. Well, hot dang, grab your cakes, grab your swords, and let's see what these maidens are gonna do now.
Gather round, travelers, to hear our tale. Tony arrives at Journey's End to pluck a rose for her fox friend. Aoife and Lou step out of a dream to join a fight. That'll be a scream. Mind the flowers as we head into Favor, episode 42, Secret Garden.
Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome back. It's another episode of Venture Maidens. Oh my gosh, it's episode 42. It's the meaning of life, the universe, everything. We're here. Wow, 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 wow. Thank you guys so much for being here. Before we dive in, hey, everybody, we're the Venture Maidens. We're a D&D 5th edition actual play stream that converts to a podcast. Before we, you know, spin up that good content for you, I gotta warn you, this is a very adult-themed stream, so of course you can expect themes of language and graphic fantasy violence and all of that kind of good stuff. We also have a couple content warnings for this episode. We just keep a general body horror warning up, just because, like I said, the graphic fantasy violence. We also have a couple other for this suite of episodes we're in here. So grief was one that kind of spans this arc here. And then we also specifically for this episode, like buried alive / suffocation, that sort of thing might come up. So if those are themes that you're not comfortable with, this may not be the episode for you to watch or listen to. But with that, Hey everybody. Let's go around. Are we ready? Everybody, it's been a while since we've all been like recording together. How are y'all feeling?
I'm fucking stoked to be here. I missed you, Nassim.
I missed you, Katie. I missed your face.
We've all been separate, but now we're all back together through some scenario that we will be telling each other in the recap since we've been recording separately, so that'll be fun. But before we can do that, we should say, hey, hi everybody, my name is Celeste Conwich, and tonight I will be your dungeon master.
Hello, I'm Katie, and I'm going to be playing Luberi Sath, your drow rogue.
Hi, I'm Nassim, and I'm playing your half-orc fighter, Tony Silvertail.
And I'm Sage, and I will be your bulletproof bard, Aoife Flannery.
Let's hope. Big talk. We'll see about that. But yeah, like I said, it's been a while since we all recorded together. We've been kind of on our own journeys, taking care of some business. So we've got to catch each other up. So let's go ahead and weave that kind of recap of what's happened. So in our two streams here, we had basically both, through our actions, you know, Aoife now with her newfound powers leading Lou through this dream sleeping court. Demesne is essentially where you have been, and you have opened that final door there and seen those roses pile out and gotten the message, I think our friend Tony is in trouble, and you had stepped through this doorway out of the dream Demesne and to where your companion is actually now. And at the same time, along this whole train, you know, Tony, you, Gidget, Arrow, Kit, the whole crew had been like climbing through this strange abandoned Titan fortress, now home to only these weird constructs that you've been fighting so far. And like after coming to that, basically it was like an empty vacation house on one of these like floating islands, learning so much about Arrow and the creation of this place. And finally you had seen that rose garden in that central island, and you had wandered your way through all these beautiful flowers inside this greenhouse. And through chance, through fate, whatever you want to call it, you all are now officially here in this place, this central platform inside this Titan fortress. Whether it's the fact that this thing has been like throwing spores that have been making you sleep, or whatever the magic of this place is, somehow it's all brought you here to this place. And you had all seen in the last moments of those various recordings this central thing at the center of this garden, this massive, massive greenhouse space you're in. There had been this clump of like tangled thorny vines in the center of this thing, and on top of it, this giant skull. And when I say giant, as if belonging to a giant, perhaps a titan, left in the center of this place with these two blood red flowers growing out of its eyes here. And it had begun to rise, basically the vines kind of twisting up to form this like undulating wave of plant matter as the like the chattering skull is held up in the air. And you had heard it, Tony, in those final moments as you had watched your companions actually falling asleep as they had stepped into this place and breathed in the spores of whatever this thing is, as Gidget had fallen unconscious, as Rook had fallen unconscious. You hear like Albert's squeal of horror as this is coming, and this thing had spoken to you in your mind to dream a dream, sleep. Sleep and stay in this lovely dream. And Aoife and Lou, you had basically like popped in, almost stepping like through a portal into the space as this thing had been like growing up, and you had also heard this voice in your mind. I will say now, as we are diving right back into the action, you actually can't see Tony or anyone else on the side because this thing is growing this like massive mound of plant matter here. So you've just like kind of stepped into this gorgeous like multicolored huge greenhouse space, and directly on the opposite side of you is of course this big group. But yeah, we're throwing right into the action here as this thing is clearly like surging upwards, clearly intent on attacking. Is there anything that you are doing very quickly before we roll initiative, gang? So, and also, like, Eva and Lou, I mean, you've never traveled through dreams before in this way. So, it's, I'm sure, Eva, this is a little confusing exactly what you have done, but you feel as you, like, step down, you and Lou land here. You walked through that door in a place that was clearly familiar and comforting, that feeling of being in that Demesne. And then now you're here. You're in a place that is sharp and different, and you feel cut off from a lot of your power. And you realize this must be the mortal realm. You are not in that dream world, in that place where you had so much power. So you feel that very sharply. And as that doorway disappears, it's gone. There's no physical door or anything behind you. And you feel very much cut off, like you will not be able to travel back. You stepped out of that place and it was a one-way door. And Lou, you don't see fucking anything. You're like, what did we do?
Fuck my life. So really quick, I guess if I have one moment to do something before combat, She will definitely grab from her bag of holding her glasses and push them up her nose and quickly activate the magic vision to try seeing this, like, form just lurching up, try to find any kind of place of concentrated magic or something that she could potentially focus on.
Yeah. Yeah, so you put on these glasses, and then there's, like, this blinding rush as, like, the whole of this place just illuminates in this flash of magic. But the magic isn't coming from this rose creature vine thing, and you realize, oh no, that's a creature. Like, all of it is all one thing, so it's not like it's an enchantment or an item or anything. So you're like, oh shit, so that's one. But the magic is coming from these walls. These glass, like, panes, everything around you is just dripping with abjuration magic. Like, just at a glance, this is some of the thickest and, like, wildest defensive magic you've ever seen. That means probably nothing gets in, nothing can get out. Like, this must be the reason. Like, all the, you see some evocation in there, like, so this greenhouse has probably been keeping these plants alive and in perfect health for actual centuries, thousands of years. Like, that's how potent the magic is, and it has not gone down a drop. So you know you will probably never be able to break through these walls. Everything in here is self-contained, but that's basically what you're looking at. And the unfortunate truth is, yes, this thing, this massive thing in front of you is somehow one giant creature.
She will slowly remove the glasses and say, fuck, and take out her knives.
Am I aware of them yet? Have I seen them?
I don't know. Do you think so? Like, you can't see them, certainly, because this thing is, like, up in front of you.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. Do you think you'd be aware enough to see or hear that with everything going on?
Yeah, I don't know. If this thing's right in front of me and I'm concerned with everyone else falling asleep around me.
Yeah, literally, you're watching your companions drop like flies behind you.
Yeah. Because there's just something I want to try, but I feel like if it goes into initiative and I don't go first, it's kind of pointless. I want to try to use my mom's charm to cast Speak with Plants.
Okay, yeah, sure. You can go ahead and grasp it. And then, yeah, let's pull that spell up real quick. What are you trying to say? What are you trying to do?
I just want to say, hello, oh, ancient, powerful creature. I am sorry to disturb you and come into your realm. I don't wish any harm upon you, but I'm only here on a research basis to examine your beautiful petals and your flora. If we could take home one of your roses, we will leave this space and never return.
So as you cast that spell, you feel at first, because you're talking at the big thing, right? Obviously, I think is what you're going for here.
Yeah.
And as you, like, say that, you just kind of feel your words go into the void, like this cold nothingness, like of non-recognition. And you're like, what? It's almost like this thing in front of you isn't actually a plant, but then you begin to feel many other presences, like recognition coming from many little plants like around this area and all the things that are apparently actually living, growing plants here. And you get the sense of like waking up coming from like these ancient gnarled plants around you. And you get this response of kind of confusion, like as people are waking up, like in the morning, this crusty, like, who is this? What is speaking? It's so long. Is it language? No, it couldn't be. Like, oh, many voices talking to each other.
Yeah.
Is there something you would like to say to these other plants that have heard you?
Yes. Hello. If you can hear me, and I'd like you to know that I don't...
I think it is talking to us. Can you hear that?
I can hear you. I can hear you. All of you.
Oh, it can hear us. Did you know it can hear us? Yes, shh, says a plant.
I believe there is a creature here who is living off of your energy, your life force, and taking power from you and using your power. I don't wish to cause any damage to your ecosystem here. But if this creature is harming you in any way, please let me know, because I would love to help you. I'm just here to examine you, all of you, and possibly take one home, but I don't want to cause any irreparable damage to this greenhouse.
It is here for us, but it is not one of the gardeners. Does it look like one of the gardeners? It's been so long, I can't remember. Is it a gardener?
I'm not a gardener.
Maybe we shouldn't call it it. What? It's they like say shocked as you say something.
Roses and whatever other flowers are here, I'll name all the flowers that I can recognize. And I'll say, my name is Tony, and I'm here with my companions. This is Arrow. The rest who are asleep have been charmed by whatever is in this air, whatever magic you possess, this creature possesses. I think it means to do us harm, and I don't want that to happen to anyone here or to ruin the space.
And there's like a general feeling of muttering and slowness as like you're watching, your companions are falling asleep. This is all happening very quickly. This thing is rising up above you. Aoife, is there anything you would like to do before we dive in?
Aoife pulls out her flute and begins playing this very, very, very sweet melody, very sweet and jovial and kind of bouncy as she does a counter charm. So while she is playing, she is going to give her and herself and friendly creatures advantage on saving throws against being charmed or frightened.
Nice.
So Tony, you'll hear that now. All of a sudden, somebody is playing a flute. But that occurs to you as, wow, this thing now has clearly reached full height and probably at its full length. It's, you know, standing about 15 feet tall or so. And I say standing very loosely because it's really just a mass of these vines that have continued to somehow, like, sprout out of the ground, giving this thing, it doesn't really have, like, a humanoid shape or anything. It's more of like just a sort of a column, an undulating column that has this skull precariously like balanced on top here. So let's roll some initiative as this is all happening. All right, so just to recap, Rook and Gidget absolutely failed saves last time, so they are out. So unfortunately, it is too late for them and their counter charm. They are basically corpses for this fight. So Albert is going to be running around, like, dragging Gidget and Rook, like, off to the side, trying to get them out of this action, because he's such a good pig. Such a good pig.
What a good lad.
So that just, yeah, that, and Kit also failed his saves, so I think it's just the three of you.
And Arrow.
And Arrow. Arrow's a good boy. Arrow was, are you on Arrow, Tony,
no,
at this point?
No.
No. Okay. All right. You're on the ground. Okay. Cool. So then, yeah, initiative. Let's hit me with it, kids.
7.
Lou got a 6.
Oh my god. Okay.
15 for Aoife.
Respectable.
19 for Arrow.
Ooh.
Damn. King of the horses. Let's go. Okay. I'm also going to warn you, this is a hard fight, so good luck.
I don't think she means it.
No, of course I don't. Why would I? Yep. So, Arrow, thank God, gets to go first. What is Arrow doing? So also, don't forget, this, when I say greenhouse, this is all contained, but this place is freaking massive. Like, if this thing in front of you is 15 feet tall, there's easily 15 more feet, like, towards the ceiling, probably about 40. So, like, this was a greenhouse made for giants. So, you good. There's plenty of room if he needs to fly or run or maneuver.
That's great, because I would love to kick off with a diving pounce.
Woo! All right, cool. Tell me how that work.
The alicorn has to be flying, and then we'll move 20 feet straight toward the creature, and then hits with a hoof attack on the same turn, and then the target needs to take make a DC saving throw of a strength saving throw of 14 or higher or be knocked prone. And then if he's knocked prone, I can then make another hoof attack as a bonus action.
Very cool. So yeah, like flying, leaping up in the air. Okay, and what's your total fly speed? Is it 40?
It's 90.
Fuck! Okay. Yeah. Shit! Alright, so how far do you want him to go in the air before he dive down? I guess just like 20? He could go so far.
I
so far.
Yeah, like the height of the building.
Yeah, okay. So basically, so I think for this whole, he'll go 20 feet up in the air. And then probably he can just do a fucking dive,
full
like,
nose
right
dive
into this thing.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you want to try and get up? No, sit back down.
Sit back down. And I imagine going, like, kicky for the skull, right?
Because yeah,
you can get all the way up there. So, amazing. Can you please describe to me the glory that is Arrow fighting in aerial combat, please? Thank you.
He looks like, right before he takes off, he's, like, kneeling down as he's taking a bow. And then, like, uses his wings to launch himself straight up, flopping up to the very top of the building, circles around for a second to find like the center of the skull, and then fully folds his wings back down to his sides to fall down, piercing the skull, hooves first.
Okay, cool. I imagine he got hoof right in between the eyes, right? Mm-hmm. Like, right at that spot. All right, awesome. Go ahead and roll me that attack.
That's a 22 to hit.
I will say, you feel from Arrow, like, the skull is hard. Like, as you kick him, you know, through that link you have, like, just a warning. But not hard enough for a magic fucking flying horse king's hooves. So, go ahead and roll me that damage.
Do you want to make your DC throw first, or save?
Yeah, go ahead and roll me the damage, because the hoof definitely lands. Okay, I got a 16.
Ah, okay. Well, good for you.
This thing is strong. Hello.
10.
Okay, cool, nice. So that is a great hit on this thing. So you see, you know, some micro fractures, like, move across the skull as Arrow's hoof is clearly, like, doing some work on this skull. So yeah, so now Arrow is officially up in the air. So Arrow is about 15 feet up above at the basically the top mm-hmm. of this skull. So let's even call him 20 feet above. So he's like okay. floating directly above the skull.
Sounds good.
All right. And then Aoife, we come to you.
So I think since she has the opportunity to act before this creature does, she's a little bit more sensible. So she is going to spend her action to continue her counter charm, because she thinks that if this thing has already put these other people to sleep, it's probably got more magic in the arsenal to try and charm or beguile. So she is going to.
That is a fair assumption.
So she's going to maneuver around the room so that she sees Tony. And yeah, so everyone within all of our allies within the 30 feet get the advantage on saving throws against being charmed or frightened.
Would you like to describe yourself for Tony now? Tony, what does Tony see looking at Aoife?
Because
you look different! Post-transformation becoming a fae. Tell me.
As Aoife slides into Tony's view, Tony notices that Aoife has this much more, like, mature look. All of her soft and sort of teenager features have become very hardened and sharp and angular, and her ear length hair has grown out to these extensive lengths, like reaching out to the ground. And she is just like, she even looks taller. And she is playing this like beautiful, like ivory flute that's swirling with these veins of blue.
Clearly something is extremely different about Aoife.
Yeah, Tony makes like a triple take, is like, Aoife?
Yeah. And she is, I will say also, Aoife is now currently, it's in that same way that like when you're walking through the wilds, right, and everything is so vivid, like colors are so saturated and they're so intense. Aoife is very intense to look at in that same way. It's like almost hard to look at her, but you don't want to look away, kind of like intense.
Uh-oh.
Yes, there's something very red flag, I think, that and recognizable that would register to Tony as very fey, very, very different.
Yeah, that's dangerous. We got a bard looking like that. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Nothing will ever get done again.
Oh, no. Incredible. So, okay, so you're using your, it's an action to continue counter charm.
Yes, and then as a bonus action, she will give one of her bardic inspiration to Tony.
So you feel inspired by this, like,
your beauty is inspiring.
Yeah, damn. All right, I will let you have a short exchange verbally if you would like in this moment. Very short, though, remember 6 seconds.
Yeah.
Damn, bitch, you hot. What happened to you?
And Aoife, like, really, like, for the first time, like, really takes in what she looks like, and she notices her hair, and she kind of awkwardly flicks it out of her face for a moment, and she goes, I'll tell you later.
Not right now. Excellent, excellent use of 6 seconds, everybody. Fantastic. So, anything else for you, Aoife?
That's it.
Okay, wonderful. So then we get to our plant's turn. Our dear plant. I need everybody, if you can be put magically to sleep, to make me a constitution saving throw, please. So, Aoife, I believe that is no longer you with your fey-fey-ness, right?
I cannot.
And Lou, you cannot be magically put to sleep?
I have advantage, but I can.
Okay, so roll with advantage then, and then I think Tony and Arrow both have to make the save, yes.
What skill is this for?
This is a constitution save.
I think, I believe Arrow has advantage as well.
Oh yes, because he has magic resistance. Yeah, so he is rolling with advantage.
I got a 17.
Okay, you are fine.
Okay, he got 15.
Okay, he's fine.
Thank goodness. And I...
Yeah, I'm not ready to see a horse fall 20 feet from...
It would be a mess.
That would horrify me.
It might help you, though, falling on top of the skull. That's a lot of weight.
I got a 9.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Oh, wait, like no, excuse me.
Did you roll with advantage because of counter charm?
I added the wrong thing, but no, I didn't roll with added the... I did not, so let me roll that again, and I added wrong in the first place. Well, it was worse that time. So it's instead... What is that math? 12?
12 is good enough for now.
Oh, I don't like that.
Okay.
But you know, Tony, as the person who's walked in here, like, it seems like this is gradually getting more intense. The smell and the feeling, the longer you spend here, which translates to my DC for this is increasing every single round you are here in the presence of this thing. You're welcome.
Great. Thank you.
This is, you know, a little little Book of Ebb and Tides monster combined with a little Cobalt Press love, a little 2C gaming love, just combined into a very big, mean, nasty monster. So, you're welcome. But you're fine for now. So you managed to, like, fight off those feeling that those pheromones, like, that smell, that super sweet, just relaxing scent, and you, like, catch yourself stirring into your, you're like, nope, stay focused. So you're gonna be fine. But that's just the ambient effect, and this is this thing's turn, so here we go. Oh boy, what do I even want to start with? Yeah, okay. So right out the gate, there is going to be a couple of these vines that like come lashing basically out of this mass here and come swinging like vines. And you see they're these like thick, almost, you know, as thick as like, I mean, clearly more than your arm, any of you, and all the way around and covered in these thorny rose vines. So one is going to be coming at Aoife, because clearly this thing recognizes the music and he knows you're doing something. So it's smart enough to know that. So here we go, as one of these things is coming towards you. All right. Oh, dear. 22 to hit, my friend.
As a reaction, we'll cast Silvery Barb. So reroll that and take it lower.
Okay. Ooh, that is lower. So that is going to be a 16.
Damn, that still hits. All right.
Ah, okay. But who are you going to give that advantage to?
She will give it to Lou, since Lou hasn't gone yet.
So this thing does wrap around you with this thorny vine, and you are going to take some piercing damage as you feel the like these inch-long thorns biting into your skin. 18 piercing damage! That was max damage! I am so sorry!
What kind of piercing damage is that?
It is normal damage. It's not magical damage.
I take no damage because I have immunity to non-magical bludgeoning, piercing, and slashing.
Whoa.
Yeah, so yeah, it's trying to basically get a grip on you, and it's like your magic is, because the vine still does wrap around you physically, but it's like the thorns are just like pushed back by some kind of like psychic force. So they like bend almost like nails, like just away from you. But this tendril does, because it was a successful hit, wraps around you, and you find yourself yanked all of a sudden 10 feet closer to this thing as it brings you like right into that central kind of mass. But it is going to send another of these roots towards you, Tony. Oh, okay, an 18 to hit?
Of course.
All right, that is going to be 12 piercing damage as these vines also lash around you, and it is going to reel you in 10 feet here. So you are now right on the other side, basically, of this thing, right next to where Aoife is. And in a flash, this thing like kind of brings down the head of this skull, right? It just drops in height all of a sudden as like the vines disperse. And it is going to go ahead and try and bite. Let's see. It's probably not smart enough to realize what has happened yet with Aoife. So I think it's going to try and bite Aoife. What's the snack that got away? I dislike it. Oh yeah, 25 to hit. I'm assuming that's going to hit.
Yes.
But as it goes and it sinks its teeth into you, it would have done a lot of fucking damage, but it is not magical piercing damage. So it's like it's chewing on you and its teeth can't get you. So you see that. Also, Tony, I'm sure you're seeing this now, like, what? As that is going on. So good job, Aoife. You have been a human chew toy and made this thing waste its turn. Excellent. Okay, but with that, we are going to go ahead and move to Tony. So you are right in front of this thing now, and you're seeing your friend Aoife is got some kind of freaky magic going on.
So am I grappled or I'm just being...
Nope. This thing basically just kind of like whipped you in and you are like 10 feet closer. You're not like wrapped in any of these vines or anything, but you're very, very close to it now. So if you were to move out of its range, it would get an attack of opportunity. That's how close you are right now.
Mm-hmm. Let's just go with my sword then, because I was going to try with the longbow and see if it would take regular damage, but why not go for the magical one as well? Okay. Then yeah, we're going to just go ahead and swipe. Swipe a sword. Well, I rolled a 9 plus 7. 16.
A 16 is just enough to cut through these extremely thick vines.
That's 6 damage. I'm going to take my extra attack. And this time I'd like to do two-handed. So just making that announcement. That was another 9. So that's going to be another 16 to hit.
That'll do.
Ooh, 10. Oh, well, plus 4. 14.
Yeah, yeah, get that addition. Every point counts. Amazing. Good. So yeah, you're like hacking through vines like a machete in a jungle, like as you're going through. But it's just like every time there are, you know, there are more vines to take the place of this thing. So you're doing work, but it is slow work. You're going to need a lot more hits like this to get through this thing. But you are cutting through them. Yeah.
Action surge.
Yeah, let's do it while you're here in the thick of it.
Yeah. One more time. We do it again. That is going to be 21 to hit.
Yeah, baby, that's where it's at.
And we're still doing that two-handed business, so.
Yes. Give it the business.
That is 7 plus 4, 11. More damage. So that's going to be 11. So I think I would like to use my bardic inspiration now.
Yes, 11 total?
Yeah.
Okay, yes, then definitely use your bardic
inspiration. Ooh, yeah, because now that's a 15.
15 is not going to be enough to hit. Fuck. But as Sage said, so I'm going to make my constitution save because you did expend the inspiration. Ooh, I think I probably passed, though. What's your DC?
15.
Yeah, so unfortunately, I'm just squeaking over. So that is going to save. So do I take anything?
Nope.
Okay, all right. So this thing, as you've been cutting through, you've been, like, basically you forced it to move all the pretty vines. Mm-hmm. And now you're seeing the ones that are brought forth are these kind of the stumpy, like, rooty heart vines. You know, when you get to those really nasty invasive plants, like that woody core, and you're like, fuck, like, you can't quite chop through them as easily. But you are doing some work here. Wonderful. And then, Lou, we come to you. Don't forget, you have advantage on your first attack because of silvery barbs.
Lou starts running around because she wants to be able to see Tony to see how she's doing. And as if there's always a yin to a yang, where Aoife just looks so beautiful, Lou looks like she took both of her palms and just smushed her makeup across her eyes, and then one more swipe under her nose, just black coal makeup running down her face. But her eyes, like, light up when she sees you intact. And as soon as she comes around that corner and sees you, she turns her eyes back to this thing, taking out her longest knife and just trying to slash down through all these vines.
Ew, yeah. Go ahead and roll me that attack.
Okay, that is a 22.
Okay, 22, yeah. Yeah, that'll certainly hit.
And you guys are all close, so I can do my sneakies. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Well, you had advantage, so you would get it anyway.
Oh, true. 10.
Hell yeah.
14, 18, 21, plus 5.
Jesus. Yeah.
26 magical piercing damage.
Okay, yeah, yeah,
okay. Beautiful.
Rogues. I love rogues. They're good. Plant blood. All that weird oozy sap coming out of it as you're dealing, like, a serious blow, you know, cutting through a bunch of these vines here.
Yeah, and let me know how you want to do this, because this is just a general idea. So what I would like to do is, because of my subclass, I can use an object as a bonus action. So I would like to go into my bag of holding and from her chef's tools pull out her big bag or big container of, like, greasy oil. And
wonderful.
She would like to shove it as far into these vines as she can.
Yes. Yeah. So are you, like, taking, you know, I am, and imagine, like, this is one of the, like, coconut oil size jars you can buy at Costco is, like, what I'm imagining.
You
in
know,
my head.
As soon as we got this
exactly.
bag of holding, we're buying in bulk, fam.
Yeah, of course. I, as would any sensible individual, which Lou is. So you want to shove, like, the whole jar intact into this thing? Are you opening it up? Like, what's the situation?
I think she's going to open it up and it's, like, glass, so she's just going to try to, like, slam it in so that it, like, shatters.
Got it. So it'll get in there, shatter, yeah. And just be a mess in there. Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, because, yeah, that's what you did. Whoop! And then with your, you know, super fast hands, because of your feature, yep, absolutely. Just whoop! Right in there. So you get that oil, that nasty grease all up in there, and you see it, you know, close up immediately that same kind of way that with Tony it did, right? It sends a new vines. So you know that in the heart of this thing, there's a huge fucking jar of oil just spilling everywhere. So you seem to have achieved exactly what you wanted to, I'm assuming?
Yes. Yes. And she just, after she does that, she just turns and goes, Tony, who's got fire? And it just gets ready.
Amazing. Amazing. Okay. So with that, because now that the thing has moved, Tony hears, like, a kind of a whisper in the back of her mind, and you recognize those plants that you started to talk to from before And they said, it is Tony. Tony? Did it say Tony? Yes, it said Tony. Tony, it, you, thing, there's something you should watch out in the ground. And you get this message right before you see, just from behind Aoife, this, like, sharp root, like, comes up out of the ground right behind her, so she can't see it, and moves and wraps itself around Aoife. So, yeah, I'm guessing, like, a 28 is gonna hit you. Cool. So here's the fun thing, because this doesn't do any damage to you, and the plant seems to have gotten that. So as it wraps itself around you, you feel all of a sudden a downward momentum as like your stomach is like jumping up, and then suddenly earth is just burying you. You feel yourself being pulled through solid, like, you know, loamy dirt, and you like open your mouth, you know, in surprise, and dirt like floods in. This thing has pulled you 10 feet below ground. So you have the buried condition. So let me go ahead and tell you what that is here. Some just fun extras. All right. So buried creature is submerged beneath loose earth. While submerged, the creature cannot move, and you are restrained unless you have a burrow speed, which you do not. While buried, a creature must hold its breath or begin to suffocate. A buried creature can take an action to attempt a strength athletics ability check. On a success, you are no longer restrained, and you can dig your way out by spending 4 feet of movement for every 1 foot. But you are currently buried. So no damage, don't worry. But you are basically blinded, deafened, trapped, suffocating. I will say also, somebody else could spend their action to dig Aoife out with an athletics check. But that's the situation. And that was just a fun little, you know, lair action. And the plants in your mind go, oh, sorry, Tony, as they clearly weren't fast enough. But you do know the plants are here, weighing in. Maybe they'll do better next time. And with that, we're going to go back to the top of the round. You guys want to get a refill or anything, too? We can always let you cut this out. Or you can strategize, whatever you need.
Oh, I'm making plans in my head. I'm making moves. Got an idea.
What's your idea?
You tell me, because I'm not strong.
I'm going to have, well, because it's going to start with Arrow. So he's going to dive pounce again and do an extra attack. And then I'm wondering if he still has the ability to then, like, has enough time or action or whatever to come and swoop me and grab me so I can then be mounted. Like, I'm wondering if that's an action or if it's just a movement.
He can swoop down next to you. On your turn, you'll be able to spend your movement to get up on. It takes half your movement to mount a creature.
Okay.
So on your turn, you can spend the 15 feet.
Uh-huh. Oh, no. But, I mean, I'm going to use a cantrip to excavate move earth and excavate Aoife. So no need to dig.
Hell yeah. Super smart.
This is all my plant shit. This is the time to use it.
Aoife will hold her action until Tony does that then.
Ooh, okay. Oh my god, that's beautiful. That's lovely.
Yeah.
I love it. Strategizing is so good.
I'm gonna keep stabbing.
You do you, boo. You're doing great.
Thanks.
If you hold your action, that does that mean that you can then use it whenever, or it just means you wait until your next turn?
You have to set a trigger.
Yeah, you say, when blank happens, I do blank.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So when Tony uses Move Earth to free me out, I'm going to spend my action to probably cast.
Does anyone actually have a fire spell? Because otherwise,
I don't. I don't have any.
No.
I don't get that kind of magic, unfortunately.
I'm just a plant babe. I'm just a cute little plant babe.
Oh, I was thinking of using... Probably going to do like a big thunder wave.
Because
I'll be able to push it farther from me.
I wonder if there's a certain amount of damage you have to do before things aren't covered after the attack. Like where more vines are wrapping around it. Because I have a tinder box. But I'm just a rogue.
I mean, Aoife can just use her action to pull out a torch from the bag. Huck it.
Do your big spells.
How we feeling? Round one, Marga?
We feel good. We're making moves.
I feel like you're starting to you see it all the bad. Cool. All right, nice. So top of round, we're coming back up here. Round two, arrow, fight.
Since he's currently 20 feet up, from that height, he's going to do one more diving pounce.
Yep.
And
so I will say, because he had to get really close to this thing to kick it before, so if he flies up 20 feet, because he'd have to go up 20 feet and then charge towards it with the dive, right, is how it works. So it will trigger an attack of opportunity if he moves.
Oh, I see. Moves at all?
Basically, if he moves out of the range of this creature, because right now he's right by it. So he would be leaving the creature's, like, space
to
go 20 feet up in the air, and then he'd have to go 20 feet down to dive. Right? It's basically kind of like a charging attack thing, so he has to get some distance away before he can do the thing.
Okay. Then instead of the pounce, we're just gonna kick.
Just do a kick.
Just do a kick.
Just slampy kick. Yeah, let's do it.
A little kick. Okay.
Man, getting kicked by a horse is no fucking joke. So, like, Jesus. No. If you live, yeah, no.
Well, I don't think it hits, because that was only a 12 to hit.
So unfortunately not. So even Arrow's hooves, which are much harder than normal non-magical horse hooves, just bounce off of the thickness of this ivory skull.
Mm-hmm. And I was incorrect before. I didn't see it because I have my screen so small. But he does have multi-attack, so I'm going to do one more.
All right, sweet. We'll go. If you want, you can even do a third one because you didn't do one last time. So.
Oh, well, I like that. But this time we got a 19 to hit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those hooves doing work.
And that's going to be 14, bludgeoning.
Ooh, that's nice.
And yeah, let's take that third one.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Ooh, and that's going to be a 23 to hit.
What a good boy.
So we got that. It was 23 to hit, and then we got plus 9 more bludgeoning damage. And the final thing, I'd like to use the rest of his movement to then come and swoop me, because I think I'm within range that he can do that.
Yeah, so you're within range, and I will say because he basically, as long as he doesn't leave the space, like, around it, so I think he can shift, like, he can basically float kind of in a spiral down from this creature and totally get next to you.
Cool. Then that's the last thing he does. He comes next to me so that on my turn, I plan on mounting him.
Cool. Good idea with little vines in the ground and such.
Yeah.
Cute strategy. Yeah. So it's good to be flying. But don't worry, you guys. I got a tendril for you. So here we go. Trying to make your fucking escape. So here, see what I can do. Uh-oh. That's going to be a lot to hit you, dear Tony. So that's going to be a 24 to hit.
Why are you asking?
Yeah. So what's fun is, because I didn't roll this at all for Aoife, because it wouldn't have mattered, but I get a sneak attack and then be pulled down into the earth. So let's roll that. Do an extra 66 damage, you say. What level are you guys?
7.
Like 9. 7, yeah, that's fine. That's close enough. Okay. Yeah, all right, that's fine. I definitely checked the CR on this. So that's going to be, just to start, 7 piercing damage, and then our sneak attack. Or 9, 12, 16, 17, 18.
That's
then enough. 18, is that good?
That's enough. Okay. Thank you.
All right, so then 18 additional damage there, so of the piercing damage. And you are pulled down into the earth 10 feet. So you are also buried at this point. So again, as a reminder, to get unburied, you'll have to spend an action to make a strength athletics check to either dig yourself out, or somebody else will have to do that. But you are rapidly running out of people who can help you do that. So
it's cool. I got a plan.
So with that was just a little sneaky turn. So Aoife, we come to you buried in the motherfucking earth. What's up, kid?
All right, Tony just got buried too, so that disrupts the plan that we had made. So we will just use our action to try and dig ourselves out, first and foremost.
All right, give me that athletics.
Ooh, that is actually pretty good. I'm surprised. That's a 16.
Your new fae energy! You're like, da-da-da-da. So you scrabbling. So you spend that action, you pop out of the ground like a daisy. Somehow, even with your fae glamour, like, the dirt just falls off you and you look beautiful somehow, even after just climbing out of the ground. So like a zombie. So you emerge as your action.
Yes.
Breathe in the very sweet, sickly sweet air.
And then as her bonus action, she will give Lou a bardic inspiration die. And that is her.
All right. Wonderful. Then our plant's turn. So one of the benefits, Tony, of being underground is that you're suffocating, which means you aren't getting air, which means you can't breathe in. So you don't have to make the save this turn as the sickly sweetness is coming down here because you can't get any air at all, let alone smell what's going on. But Arrow will need to go ahead and make me a con save to see if he is lulled to sleep with these spores. And Lou, you will as well. You'll roll with advantage.
I got a natural 20.
Sick.
Ooh, I'm an elf. Now that I have a dream fae in my house, I'm never going to sleep again, you idiots. Bye. Oh,
yeah. Arrow also got a nat 20.
Oh my god, twins.
Holy shit. Okay. All right, well, that's fine. Nobody's affected, but the DC is increasing by one for next time. So look forward to that. So, okay, so that's good. So breathing in the beautiful smell, despite the horror of your companions being dragged into the ground, whatever. And it's going to take its turn. So looking around right now, Aoife is popping out of the ground like a daisy. Tony is down there. Arrow is up in its butt. And then Lou, it threw a knife, right? So you're not like, no, you were actually right up on it too. What do we do?
Let's just talk about it.
That was last episode. No more feelings.
Let's just talk about our feelings.
All the action.
No, we can't have feelings anymore. Fuck this. All right. So we are going to go in and do a... I think it's learned now officially that it can't damage Aoife in the traditional sense. So we're going to throw some roots at Lou. One for Lou and one for Arrow. Wonderful. Okay, 16 to hit Lou?
Yes, but I'm going to do uncanny dodge.
Oh! Is there a limit on that, or are you just going to do that every attack? Because rogues are bananas.
I can do that as a reaction every turn.
Oh, good. And I rolled poorly, so seven piercing damage is all you would take. So you only take 4 damage. And then the second root is coming towards our dear Arrow here. So yeah, 21 to hit Arrow. I'm assuming that will.
Silvery barbs.
Oh, Lord. Okay. All right, I rolled higher on that one, so that would still be the 21, but who's getting the advantage?
We will give the advantage to... I think I have to see you. Yeah, you can see.
Lou's out of the ground now, so you can see Lou.
No, I was going to say, I was thinking Tony, but I think I have to see the creature, so since we can't see Tony, we're going to say Lou.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yep. Okay, so Lou, you are going to get advantage on your next one, but that hit is still going to land, so Arrow is going to take... So that was 11 piercing damage on Arrow. I'm going to send my bite attack, so the big skull is going to come down at you, Lou. Ooh, yeah, girl, that's a 30 to hit.
Yeah, that might hit.
That go do it. And that's not a crit? Damn. Got a plus 11 to hit? What the fuck?
This thing is strong. It be dumb, but it be strong. It's like golems have been a theme in this whole place or some nonsense. So that's, okay, that's 18 piercing damage.
I should have saved my uncanny dodge. You live, you learn.
Oh, no. Oh, you only get one reaction. What a tragedy. So, yeah, big chomp. It's like that Home Depot-sized skeleton is, like, biting you right now. Just the skull part. But that was my plant. So, Tony, we now come to you. Buried alive! Buried alive! What's up?
I'm going to use my cantrip Mold Earth to excavate myself.
Cute! I love that. This is the perfect use for that. I'm going to be honest, I've literally never seen a player in all of 5th edition in the hundreds of games I've run use that cantrip in an effective way. That's fucking great. Use it, also take a point of inspiration.
Thank you so much. I will take it.
Cantrip, what are you doing? We haven't seen Tony use this yet. What's the vibe? What's the look? What happens? What's a power?
Actually, I think I have used it once. I haven't used it to... Yeah, I don't think I... Did I excavate the worms too?
Yeah, you dug out the earth underneath them so that they fell through like a little sinkhole.
I did. Okay, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I've used it a couple of times, actually. It's...
Okay, that was cute, but this is like a really good use of it. You know what I mean?
I think I want to shock the motherfucker. So it's almost like a little dynamite went off underground and the earth blasts out. And in that force...
We just get like an angry like half-orc in the ground. Amazing.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah, because I'm suffocating. This needs to happen quick. I'm just like, get the fuck out of here.
Fucking fantastic. Do we see any, like, power effect? Like, do your eyes glow or, you know, like, anything cool for the magic casty aspect?
I think maybe the earth around me, like, in my feet, like, becomes stable so that I'm not impacted by the force of the earth that I'm moving. It's just the things outside of me. So, like, I become stable, but everything around just shoots out.
Very cool. You look like earth, like unnaturally still as everything explodes out around you. Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
So you are free. Absolutely. And there's like a little crater, you know, around you. That was your action, but.
Mm-hmm. Arrow got wrapped, didn't he? Is he being pulled down? Did that happen?
No. He's fine. He just got like slapped with a vine. So he took damage, but he's still there. So I think it's what, half your movement to mount?
I want to do that. I want to mount.
Get on up there climbing. You know, the dirt is like, I don't think you're even dirty. I think you're like dirt, go. So unlike Aoife, who still has the crumbling dirt, you know, falling off of her, you're like, nope, perfectly clean as you climb up. Anything else? You got a bonus action or nothing? If you want to pull out your shield for your bonus action, you could defend Arrow. You could activate your shielding thing, your Legionnaire subclass.
All right. I'll do that.
So you go ahead and you pull out your shield. So basically you're ready in case like this thing, you know, slaps vines towards you or Arrow. You can basically use your shield to help Arrow. Neat. All right. Then Lou, we come to you. So once again, these like silvery twisting threads helping you out.
Woo. Okay. I am attacking with my big knife. That's going to be a dirty 20.
Hell yeah.
All the D6s. 24 magical piercing damage.
Ugh, this is disgusting.
She reopens what she'd cut into before.
Yeah.
And she's like, stay open! And with the deftness of a soldier at camp... All those times lighting a fire in a wet, rainy area.
Yeah. In the rain, you have your moment between the wind, like that one stop. It stopped for a second. Go. Yeah.
She reaches in and just with like the rest of her fingers that aren't holding the knife, she's going to like flip the tinder box and make a spark into that greasy pit she created.
Fucking amazing. Okay. So you can totally do this because of your bonus action. But I do want some kind of ability check.
Okay.
Like, give me a skill that you're using, because, fuck, one, it's so hard to light a fire just with a tinderbox, just normal, and you have literally, like, 6 seconds to do it. So what is the skill? Yeah. What is the play? Tell me.
We are going to use sleight of hand as she, like, almost, like...
That's a good skill. A good choice.
Like when you're like flipping a pen between your fingers, she flips her knife over, still holding on just barely.
Yeah. As the steel, you're like the flint, you're like, hey, get the sparks in there. Yeah, go ahead and roll it for me. See if you can do this.
12 plus 7, 19.
Fuck yeah. All right. So in a godly move, you are like, in that instant, you're like, cut, nope, you know, in that same hand, you're transitioning the flint from the cut, and it's like fucking art as you're doing it, and you see that glorious, like that single orange spark just land right in the center of that thing, and there's that moment where you're seeing like that thin wisp of smoke, and you're like, come on, baby, and there's the sound as like the orange, like you start to see that flame move through it, and you are seeing it start to spread, and like where that grease has gone, it just like those thin, you know, flames start to climb up and through. And at this point, I will say the creature hasn't quite noticed, right? Like this thing is just happening in this woody like space, but on its turn, the flames are gonna take full effect.
You just see, like, before teeth fully clenched, just watching her friends just be pulled into the ground. And the second she sees that small little plume, she gets the shit-eating grin on her face as she jumps back from all these vines.
Yeah, and you see the vines, like, because it's too dumb to realize what's happening yet, right? So it closes the, again, like last time it sends the vines, so you know, like, you see the smoke working its way out, but it is like totally consumed it and put it right in the fucking heart of this thing. Woo! Amazing. Take inspiration. This is a very good fucking idea.
Thanks.
All right. Anything else for you, Firebug?
Nope. That's it.
Okay. So we now come to a little tendril trick. So Tony, in your head, very quickly, you hear much quicker than last time. Purple friend, watch out. The plants say to you in your head. What are you doing with that?
Lou, look out. Something's coming for you. Dodge.
Okay, go ahead and make me a dexterity save, Lou, with this warning.
14.
Use your bardic inspiration.
Oh! Yes, I will do that. That's a d8 plus 5. Yeah, and I think I heal too.
You get 9 temp HP.
Don't mind if I do.
So with that warning and plus like Aoife's thing, you avoid just in time as like you move the last second as this vine whips out of the ground and it was fully going to wrap around you and drag you down. But because of the plant's warning and Aoife's help, you manage to sidestep in time. So you're not going to take that attack.
Oh, I want to bake you guys the best fucking cake. I love you guys.
So all the plants around you are helping. They just took a little bit of time to figure out what the fuck. They're sleepy. They've been asleep for like thousands of years.
I love them. They're my best friends. Plant soldier, dreams are becoming true.
You should take one with you and plant it in the chicken hut.
They'd probably be down, man. Like, not getting, you know, cool gardener help for a thousand years. Bummer.
You want to go on an adventure, little sprout?
So that was the plant's turn, obviously helping. So we are back up, top of round 3. Arrow. Now with a fully fledged warrior atop. Comes with sword and shield.
Some assembly required.
You are like a full-on Valkyrie right now, and I am living for it.
This was always the dream. This was the heroic destiny arc, you guys. Fuck.
It's a good time, man. Okay, we're gonna get up off the ground. So he's gonna become airborne. And he will also give me... He's doing okay, I feel like. He hasn't really been hit. Oh no, he took some damage. I'll have him heal him... No, I want him to attack. Yeah, he's gonna attack.
Okay, cool. How far up do you want him to go? Because he could, you know, go back up basically about 20 feet, so he's back hovering above the thing without actually leaving its space the whole time. So you could be sitting right above its head.
Yeah, that's my comfort place. My comfort zone. Flies up and then prepares to attack. And we're gonna... Ooh, that was bad. So that was... It's just not gonna hit. That was 6.
Uh-oh. So I think probably on the way up, why he's missing, just narratively, he's like, now that you are both mounted on the same thing, it's like, you know, these vines are shooting out, so he's having to, like, weave in and out, you know, carrying you, kind of kicking away these vines as you're climbing up, you know, to the top of this thing here. So that strike, unfortunately, is just a glancing blow as this thing is, like, bobbing and weaving, and Arrow is, like, heroically struggling yeah. to get you to the top of this thing.
And he's like, you can't catch me. And then we're going to try yeah. again.
Hell yeah, let's do it.
And that time, much better. This is a 23.
Oh, yes. Yes, my king. Yes.
My king.
Daddy Alicorn, yes. Let's go.
You got to make sure one dab hand is right in the center of your forehead.
Some 14 magical bludgeoning damage.
Ooh.
I think this time it's like the back of the skull. Like,
ooh. Ugh. Yeah. Right at like the base where that skull would be, like that
yeah.
fracture point.
Mm-hmm.
With that kick, too, you are seeing like your companions have been hacking away at the vines down here, but Era has kicked the skull a few times now, and those cracks are getting thick on this thing. So it is taking a serious amount of damage.
Sounds good. And that's his turn.
All right, sweet. And now you are off the ground, which means I cannot target you with my vines. Clever girl. Clever girl. Yes, so me, Tendril. Uh-oh. You hear in your head, Tony, your fairy friend.
Aoife, dodge, vine coming for you.
Aoife, make a dexterity saving throw.
All right, we're going to use our force of magnetism so that we are going to choose to take our charisma score and then add on top of that.
Holy shit! Yeah, so good stuff.
As Tony gives the warning and as the weight of her warning hits Aoife, she turns around just in time to see this vine shooting out of the ground, and she just shoots this look of daggers, and the vine just goes, just like immediately stops, like mid-slash, like, whoa!
Oh no.
Amazing.
Yeah, it stops and it looks at you and it sees like the fear and terror. You're like Galadriel, you know, I could be so great and powerful queen. And then it's like, ooh, and you see its little snake head like turn around and goes burrows just right back into the ground. It's just right back into the ground, wants nothing to do. Nothing to do with any of that. It does. It's like, nope, that was a very scary cut scene. I'm so glad you left it out of the theater cut. I'm out. Too frightening for the children. So it is gone. Don't worry about it. Excellent. And then Aoife, we come to you with that high note. Carrying that, you are above ground. You are not drowned in earth. Thank you to the warning and your scary eyes. Yes, amazing. Go.
Fantastic. So I imagine since this is a greenhouse, there are probably some tools laying around, like a wheelbarrow.
Hell yeah.
So with her action, she's going to use her animating performance, and, you know, she sees a wheelbarrow tipped off, ungloved, in the corner, kind of covered in vines, and she uses her magic to imbue it with arcane force, and it animates, and she is going to have it fly on over to her, because it's got a 30-feet fly speed, and she's gonna hop in, and then on its turn, or let's see. As her bonus action, she'll give Tony a bardic inspiration. She's going to hop into this flying wheelbarrow, and it's going to make an attack at the back of the head of the skull.
So, okay, I have a few questions, because one, this is amazing. Okay, but like, all right. So one, does your animating object thing have like a size issue, or can I do something wild?
It just has to be large or smaller.
Excellent. Okay, so this is a large wheelbarrow because this is for Titans. So this is like a boat. So you've basically got like a sailboat, like a rowboat, like sized wheelbarrow. So one, I just want to make that very clear to everyone that Aoife is in like a sky boat right now. And then it gets a flying speed, just to clarify. What the fuck? Yeah, okay.
Yes, it has a ground speed of 30 feet and a fly speed of 30 feet, and it can hover.
Incredible. So it's going over and it acts on your turn, so you can use half your movement to get into it, right, as part of the same thing. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And whenever I spend a bardic inspiration, I can have, as part of that spending of my bardic inspiration, have it make an attack.
Amazing. Okay, I just wanted to clarify all that because that's fantastic. So great. So now you're in a sky rowboat that is a wheelbarrow for giants. Exceptional. So, yes, make your attack. Sorry, I just had to interrupt everything to clarify how cool this was. Continue.
Oh, no. That's good shit. That is a 17 to hit. 10 force damage.
Yeah, where are you hitting it? You ramming into, like, the skull or the vines? What is it look like?
Yeah, I definitely think at the, just like right at the temple of the skull, you just see these wheels just dive in at it.
Wonderful. So that is Aoife's turn. Damn. All right. So we come to this, this plant creature now. It's just like, what the fuck? You see its skull look like up, you know, at Tony and Arrow and like look at the wheelbarrow here and then looks down at the ground at Lou. Again, the smoking thing. It seems to like look down at its own body like, uh-oh. But first off, we need some checks because it is still so smelly and smellier all the time, I would even say. So, Lou, Tony, and Arrow, I need you to make that con save for me again.
17.
You good?
Thank God for advantage for real, because the other one was a 1.
Mm-hmm.
Arrow got a 19.
Arrow's good.
And I got, 19 as well.
Okay.
We're doing it.
Look at you guys. All right. You're doing it. You're not falling asleep on the job. Good for you. Bare minimum. You qualify for employment. Fine. And then this fire situation. So here's how I would like to do this, because I'm gonna, based on a conversation, part the curtain. Based on a conversation I had with Katie, I cannot believe that the grease spell in 5th edition doesn't deal, you can't light it on fire like you would in Baldur's Gate 3, which makes no sense to me. It's so dumb. So we're gonna treat this, because that's stupid and terrible. So in Tales of the Valiant, we're changing it to make grease flammable. So we're gonna cast that as if the grease spell was flammable. So let me just pull up real quick my version of the grease spell in Tales of the Valiant and see how much damage we are gonna deal here with this. Because that feels fair, since you had a giant Costco-sized tub of grease in the deal. Yeah. Okay. 2d4 fire damage to any creature that starts its turn in the fire. And I'm going to say because it's inside the fire, like, it can't go away. So we're going to double that. It's normally be 2d4, but we're going to say 4d4 fire damage, because let's be honest, you put the middle of it on fire. It's not a casual fire we're dealing with.
Too much grease will give you heartburn. 11 points of fire damage.
Oh, good. Yes. I'm going to say it's going to have disadvantage on attacks for as long as its literal body is on fire, because that just makes sense to me. I hope you guys don't mind.
Hell yeah.
Yes, because, and now, so between, like, all of you are smelling the beautiful perfume, and even you, Aoife, can smell it, and like, oh yeah, in another life, that probably would have made me sleepy. But then you're like, ooh, that starts to take on a really smoky campfire
is
sort
that hickory?
Of smell, you know?
Applewood?
Is that hickory? Yeah, it's drifting in there. Like, ooh, it's like a whiskey now instead of like a nice perfumier. Oh dear. As you all see this thing smoking, like black fire that is coming out of it. It's that sludgy, like from oil fire. Like when it burns, it is just way thicker and more noxious than normal fire. So clearly something is going wrong. This thing can't make noise, but you see the like the skull chattering up and down in distress. But don't worry. It's still going to try and do its worst. So it is going to, it does not like that everyone is flying around it. So I'm going to send an attack, one towards you, Tony, one towards you, Aoife, and then I'm going to try and bite Lou, who's like on the ground right here. So let's go, Tony, with disadvantage. Okay, with disadvantage, ooh, that's still going to be an 18. Is that going to get you?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Sorry, it's still a strong boy. It's not a smart boy. Okay, 7 piercing damage. As it slaps you with a vine. And then here we go, a sage. Lucky you, it seems to have forgotten that it can't deal damage to you. It's just so mad and on fire. So that's only going to be a 16.
That will hit.
So it's going to hit you, and it is going to pull you. With that, so it's going to pull you out of your mount here. So it's going to pull you out, and then you flew up how far in the air? It was only about 10 feet, right? I think, because this thing didn't go far. So you're going to take, you would take falling damage, except that's normal bludgeoning damage. So you are knocked prone on the ground. You don't take any damage, but you are down on the ground again, as it did hit you. Lou, you are getting that bite. That sweet, sweet bite. Okay. Plus 12, so 20.
You just give me the damage. I'm going to uncanny dodge.
All right. That is going to be 13 piercing damage as it does get a bite on you. And as it bites you, you can see fire coming up its like throat area. So you're like, ow. Okay. A little singe. It's very hellish as it very, very scary, very gothic as it's coming towards you.
What's this? The consequences of my action? Ow.
But don't worry, it won't hit you for now. So that was the planty plant. So Tony, here you go. You are still up in the air, astride arrow. We're not knocked down. What's the play? This thing is not looking great.
Aoife just got pulled down, didn't she?
But only to the ground.
I would like to... I don't know if this is, I mean, it doesn't necessarily say it's an option in the thing, but if I can use...
You tell me what you want to do, kid, and I will tell you.
I'm thinking of cementing, hardening the earth beneath Aoife's feet so that
interesting
vines can't come up within, like, it's not very far, but a 5-foot radius of Aoife. Is what I'm thinking.
Okay. Here is how I would let you do that. I would let you... Because I don't think, unfortunately, Mold Earth is only a cantrip. So I don't think that would be in the power to, like, you know, unless you could turn it into stone, which is like a higher level druid spell, basically. You could shape stone. But what I would let you do is if you want to burn your help from the plants this round, I would let you contact them. And then they could ensure that Aoife will be safe this round, but they will not be able to, like, give a warning or a heads up to anyone else for the fight if you did this. Basically, they'd be spending all their energy to kind of knit together and, like, stop Aoife from getting affected this round, if you think that will last long enough, right?
I mean, Aoife hasn't taken any damage, like...
Yeah, I think their warnings are more useful, so I'm going to save that then, and I guess I'll just, sorry, Aoife, go for an attack.
Go for it. It's looking rough, so you might be able to take it out, depending on how much you can do.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's go for some swipies.
Swipey!
That's going to be, I don't even know, 24 to hit. And I still have my shield out, I think, so this time it's going to be a d8. Ooh, and that's 10 bludgeoning.
Nice. All right, very good blow. You're going to go ahead for the extra attack?
That extra attack, please.
Let's do it.
That's 4. We're going to use that inspiration to do that again.
Yeah, go heavy roll.
And that's 17?
Hell yeah.
Nice.
Yes.
All right, well, that's just going to then be another 7 damage.
Ooh, this thing is getting so close. You're, like, whamming on it, right? With arrows, like, flying up above it and getting these great hits off on it. But it is still just holding on. But we come to Lou. Thank goodness.
Lou,
before...
Finish it.
No pressure. I didn't hit. I rolled a 2. But I have an offhand. Hold up. And I can still use... sneak attack on my offhand. Yes. That's what I'm fucking doing. You best believe your sweet booty. yeah, so that is going to be a 19, which I believe will hit.
Sure will, kid.
And that's going to be...
my prediction is KO. Read me that damage, though.
20 magical thunder damage.
How? Do you want to destroy this creature?
She is going to, like, just looking around at all this complete chaos around her, focus back into that core that she sees is becoming, like, brittle and dried out from the fires within it. And she will try to swipe in, but her first knife won't quite grab purchase. And then going back in, almost looking like she's about to just fucking punch its heart out, all of a sudden the blade just comes out, and all you use can hear this high-pitched noise as the sonic blade punctures through the center and just explodes this creature from the inside out.
Hell yes. And it's like those vibrations just travel up, you know, through every shred of this thing. And you all see, you know, as the vines explode, this gout of fire that has been burning up inside this thing kind of wraps around with this thunderous force here. And very, very quickly, it's like a flash fire that pretty much instantly happens as, you know, from up above, you see the skull just incinerate as all of these vines are just blackening and falling away, and it drops down, you know, the pieces pretty much disintegrated of this. And there's like a very quenching sound, almost like water, right? As most of these vines and everything are just disintegrated and left to ash. And as the flames, you know, you all have to sort of look away in this heat explosion, and the flames dissipate. And left in the center of this are just two gorgeous roses. Again, those roses like the size of a humanoid chest, right? Each like in piece there, untouched completely, let alone the crater of black surrounding this place. Everything but the roses has been just destroyed. And you hear, Tony, these kind of whispers in your mind, like, ah, good. I was a terrible neighbor. Just terrible neighbor, right? Such a jerk. Absolute jerk. So glad they're gone. Were they even a real plant anyway? I don't think they were. Is it listening? It's not it. Tony, is Tony listening? Can it hear us?
Yes, I hear you. Thank you so, so much for your warnings.
Yes, it has been a long time since we've been awake. A very long time. How long? I don't know. 100? 100 what? Years? Years? Is that how they still do time? I don't know. You will also, Tony, I think you've talked to a few plants in your day. As these plants are coming around, they seem really intelligent compared to the normal plants you've talked to. Like, as slow and weird as they seem to be waking up, you've never quite had a plant experience that could grasp anything in terms of, like, time, or these are really big concepts that these plants are seeming to understand here. But anyway, all of that is, like, happening in the background as you all are together.
Lou immediately runs over and like hooks an arm through Aoife's to take her with her to run over to Tony and just do a big group hug, and then just kind of like pops her head back up and like looks over at the pile of sleeping people, and she's like, what the fuck happened? What? You're okay! And just gives her like a big smooch on the cheek.
You're okay. You're awake. My God, we were so worried about you. Good job, Aoife. Also, Aoife.
Right?
What did you do?
Aoife bats the hair, long, luscious curls that stretch down to the ground out of her face. And she says, well, I suppose help for Lou came at a little bit of a cost. But look how great it's paid off in this situation, and many more to come. I just had to, and she like mumbles quietly into her sleep. Join the sleeping court.
Did you know this, Lou?
Oh, I know. But she can make her own choices. We all certainly do that a lot around here, so you know, this is the new Aoife, and she's happy with the choices she made, and you know, I'm never sleeping again after the shit I've dealt with, so I'll just keep an eye out. It's fine.
I mean you did it. You helped Lou, and you, I mean, one, you look amazing. Two, you helped Lou and you kicked ass just now, so I can't blame you for any of those things, but I'll just say, like, We're here for you too, should anything, you know, backfire as a result of this, because we've all made a few deals at this point. We know what happens from those, but hey, I think you did right.
At least I was able to walk in knowing what I was accepting. And of all the courts to become a part of, they definitely seemed least treacherous, as it were. But we'll see what we'll have to do in order to maintain this status. But we're glad you're all right and that you made it and that you got the rose.
You got two.
We got the roses. And we might need to slap these guys awake because they were taken out pretty quickly.
Aoife will immediately run over and go to shake them awake.
Yeah, and as you do it, you know, and Albert this whole time, this giant mechanical pig, Aoife and Lou have never seen, but it appears to be like a boar, just entirely made out of metal. But it's very, very, like, naturally, but like, like the whole time, you know, snorting and like looking up in concern and making like squealing, mechanical squealing noises over it. So you go over and you have to give both Rook and Gidget a very hard shake to get them awake, but eventually they do come back out. And, you know, Gidget, so this gnome who, again, Aoife and Lou, you haven't met before, but she look, oh gosh, oh, this is so embarrassing. I'm sorry, Tony, who are these, hello, I'm Gidget, and, looks up at you, Aoife, like, hello, I'm Gidget, and
this is Aoife, Gidget, this is my adventuring party, this is Aoife and Lou.
Hi, And then, you know, Rook is also waking up, and she's just, like, sits bolt up, and she looks around, she's like, what happened? Where are we? Where was that monster? What's going on?
Well, I hope you had a good nap, Rook.
What do you mean? Nap? I never nap. And she's sitting on the ground, she's like, oh my god. No, I didn't. No.
Yes. And myself.
She turns bright red, like bright fucking red.
I love it. And I'm like stroking Arrow's neck, and I'm like, yeah, we took care of it. And lucky for me and all of you, my friends showed up. Our friends, you obviously know them too, but
yeah, Rook will turn and focus, and you know, see you, Lou, and nod and sort of look at Gidget, nod, and then turn to Aoife, and her, again, that red just goes, there's the pallid expression as she fixes you with a stare. What did you do?
And Aoife is, you know, sort of crouched on the ground in front of Rook and Gidget as she had to bend down to shake them up, and she looks Rook dead in the eye and says, I accepted some help from the sleeping court in order to be able to wake Lou up. I'm officially a vassal.
And Rook pauses. And you see her face gets very tight and her eyes close and her head hangs. As she presses her eyes closed and just sighs and says, okay. And as the smallest and the saddest you have ever seen her, well, I don't know about you all, but I would really like to get out of here.
I think that's a solid plan.
How are we going to get these two enormous roses back with us? And also, can I have the other one? I don't know if you guys have tried rose water, but oof. Pistachio?
Gidget will chime in. I don't necessarily think that would be just a great idea, just based on the kind of technology. I'm not sure where you came from or how you got in here or even the basis of this whole thing, but I am accepting clearly something extremely magical has happened and are very grateful for your help. But if you don't mind, we should probably gather more intelligence about this before anyone walks away with essentially, yeah, you see, Tony agrees with her.
Yes,
she crosses her arms and looks very official, by the way, in this very official kind of military coat she is wearing. So she's kind of standing in front of Tony, almost looking back like, yeah, Tony's my backup. She got what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, even just the regular plants here seem to be above any other plant life I've encountered.
Oh, really?
They helped us.
Are you speaking to them? Are they speaking to you? Oh my god. She looks at you like wonder.
Yeah, both. It's starting to go away. It only lasts so long, but they were a huge help and they are smarter than any other plants I've ever spoken with before. So I can't even imagine what these roses are capable of. Well, we should take both of them.
We were in that workshop. I mean, if this was a place where they created, you know, life forms and the alicorns, I mean, who knows what they did to create these plants? Actually, I need to take some notes. And she wanders off, like, with a book and is, like, staring very intensely at something.
Lou, like, leans into the two of you as Gidget walks off, and she's like, she just gets cuter the more she talks.
I agree.
Everybody's into Gidget.
Who wouldn't be best girl?
Yeah. So we can absolutely kind of, as we are figuring out the logistics and all of this, we can close down the scene, the main action for this episode. But we have done it. We have achieved our roses. We have survived. We are all back together. Everybody's alive, no longer trapped in dreams. But of course, before we go, we have to give you a letter for this episode. So our darling Lou has something to read for us. So, Katie, tell me a little bit about what this letter we're sending is.
Essentially, for those of you who have listened to the last section of the episode, Lou has gotten it in her mind that she would like to work on becoming a wizard because she has continuously in this campaign been like, I don't know, magic, it's whatever the fuck, I just slice shit up.
Magic, it's so in over our head, constantly, magical forces we can't understand, yes.
And with everything that's happened and how much magic has fucked her right over, she is saying no more and wants to get a handle on it. So, as everybody returns back to the chicken hut eventually, she holds up in her room and gets out her writing equipment. And she writes this in Thieves' Cant because she knows that Hecate can read everything they write, but she is not sure if there's a possibility that she understands everything if it's in code. Mom, I just saw Jada. She's undead and she's different. She's not trying to hurt me, but she's trying to keep me safe in a way that puts my friends in danger. I can't keep letting magic mess with my life, and I need to get a handle on it before it ruins me. I've gotten in at the university, but I'm lacking the funds to enroll. You know I do not like asking for money when it can go towards so much good, but I need to help Jada come back to herself or release her from whatever has a hold on her. She needs this peace, and so do I. Love, Lubu. P.S. Yes, I will send you my report cards. P.P.S. If we have any family in Phelan that has some extra spoons, can you keep an eye out for our professor at the university called Cassiopeia Andromeda? Mostly to make sure she's protected. She's helped me get out of a lot of sticky situations and is good people from what I can tell. But also, if you see any odd behavior, please let me know. She's ex-Corellan, if you've ever heard of that. And as you know, there's something going on with them super wrong. P.P.P.S. Please also enclose your cannoli recipe. P.P.P.P.S. Miss you every day, Ma.
Oh, love that. Yeah. So definitely, you know, that's setting us up as the transition. Obviously, as we're coming back from this, we have quite a few things we've learned and quite a few journeys that are new we have started or are about to embark on. Because you can bet your bottom dollar when this favor is out from under you, there will be several people who are quite upset. Yes. But that's for next time. We'll worry about that next time. In the meantime, thank you all so much for being here with us. You guys kicked ass. How are you feeling? You feeling like bad bitches after that episode? Because I think you guys are.
That was beautiful. Are you kidding me?
The way you were using your character options. My God. It's amazing.
I fought with my alicorn. The plants were helping me. Like, all of my dreams were coming true.
Yes. You did it. You used everything. You guys used everything. Lou with the object. I was like, oh, man. And then Aoife, like, bringing it home with the face stuff. That was good. That felt good for me, for you all, even though you murdered my monster.
I'm sure DM aside, good monster. Good monster. Was like,
me as your personal friend was excited, but me as a DM was like, boo, you horse, but you know, whatever. That's okay. I love being two people at once. It's the fun of take inspirations, you little nasties. But no, that was great. And it was so great to have everybody back together. And I can't wait to play again. But of course, until then, you know, we just want to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. And that segues super nicely into our segment here, where we always like to take some time to thank the Patreon donors who donate at the highest tiers. I don't know if you guys know, but podcasters make zero money. We make all of this content for free. We spend hours and hours and hours of our time without direct pay, without direct compensation, making all of this great stuff for you. So those people who go above and beyond to donate to us on Patreon every month, you are literally our only source of income, the only way we get to pay our cast members, the only way we get to do cool things and keep the show going for now 7 years. We have kept this going because of people like you and donors like you. So if you are listening, I know it's easy to just keep listening and, you know, never donate or show anything. But if you've gotten any hours out of this, please consider joining these goddamn heroes who donate even as little as $1 a month on patreon.com/venturemaidens to keep this on. Because they are the true heroes of the story, let's be real. You know, party members are cool, people who can kill, you know, vines are cool, but like, damn you guys, you're awesome. So let's go ahead, we always like to take some time to thank our donors. So starting with our Arnie's cohorts tier, I want to say a huge thank you to Debbie.
Thank you to our Eldritch Kawaii Queen, Curry.
Thank you, Muffin, at the one on Drury Lane on Twitter.
And what's up, and thank you, Nissa McKinnon.
Thank you so much, Richie113 on our Discord.
Thank you, Tony.
Oh, Tony, in every chat, I see you there in the stream. We love having you, Tony.
A mensch. Y'all are menches, all of you. And then in our Pharaoh's Drinking Mate tier, thank you, Nadia.
Thank you, Chris.
Oh, thank you so much, Markalai, our beautiful, wonderful Discord mod as well. Thank you.
Thank you to Fable.
Thank you so much, Sheepish Gnome.
And a big thank you to Destiny.
Oh, thank you so much, Scott.
Thank you, Rim.
Well, look at us. We're expanding the family. Thank you so much, Noon, from the Discord server.
And thank you, Brittany.
Oh, you guys, thank you. Oh, and of course, Ben. Thank you. Flower Crown Gaming, our champion, our hero, our wiki master, all around good guy, Ben, thank you so much. And that's the business. Thank you so much, Patreon donors. We had a great fucking episode. We can't wait to see you again. But until, oh wait, outros. I have been your dungeon master, who's so good at remembering to do outros, Celeste Gunnowidge.
Hello, I am Cooking Mama, aka Katie playing Lou.
Meet Mom, thank you. Yep.
Hello, I've been Nassim. I am Nassim, and I've been your half-orc fighter and budding druid, Tony Silvertail. Oh,
good.
It's Boss Bitch Bard.
Yes! There we go, we did it! Triple B's.
Boss Bitch Bard, Aoife Flannery, played by Sage.
Incredible, incredible. Thank you all so much for listening. We'll tell you more probably about PAX Unplugged. We'll see you there hopefully this year, 2023. So here, stay tuned for that. Stay tuned for the next time. But until then, everybody,
Venture Away!